ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah. It would be if we weren't still
drunk
from my party Saturday night. How about that? All the boys were here. Can I just say, and this is saying a lot because you've been to a lot of my parties.
Yeah.
That is the most wine we've ever gone through.
Wow.
That was impressive.
That's something.
You know what? I may just bring in the recycling bin so everybody, all y'alls, can see how many bottles of wine we went through.
100 bottles of
beer. I think
it
might be even more than 99 bottles of beer.
I think a lot of it was
wine.
I think a lot of it was Stephen's. With Stephen.
Oh, your friend?
Yes.
Yeah, by the way, your
my partner.
Friend. Yeah, your friend made drink plans with everyone at the party.
Yes.
Good for him. So
he,
not only did he have drinks with the men.
He committed us to have dinner and drinks with everybody at your party.
He is friendly and chatty. Jim and his lovely wife, Janiqua, were here. Janiqua took a tour of Janice. Jim's wife's name is Janice.
Yes.
We've been through so many names, I sometimes forget. But she is lovely.
Yes.
And so she got a little tour of the studio.
Yeah.
To see where the hubby sits and all that.
That's right.
And she said she likes the new studio much better. And she likes, well, Fred's chief petty officer, Jim.
That's right.
The homey feel. The homey magical feel we have here. Yeah. So what else? Should we do the name dropping now?
Okay.
Okay. So.
Get it out of the way.
What are you doing? What are you queuing up there? Oh, okay. There
name
you go.
Dropping.
Thank you. Oh, thank you.
Oh, my God. What are you so paranoid for?
What are you doing?
What are you doing? What are you doing over there?
What is it?
See, now that we're closer, you can see when I'm starting.
You make me nervous.
Yeah.
Okay. Stephen Stills was here, who was our buddy, our pal. Oh, we got to have him on again because he does this great autism benefit every year, and he has another one coming up here in L.A.
I love the way he kind of parked his car, kind of cattywampus.
And left the lights on.
Yeah,
right.
In the driveway.
Right.
It's awesome.
And a lot of people are like, someone left their lights on in a really hugely expensive car out there.
Yeah.
I was talking to him, a lot of new people were coming in. I just love the people's faces. They're like, hi. Except we're pretty sure that one person was talking to him that didn't know who he was. And I was like, oh, please, God, don't say anything. Oh, you have a band?
Oh.
Don't.
Yeah.
Which one are you, Crosby or Nash?
Oh. Or Young.
Oh, I love Neil Young. No.
No.
Don't.
Sore subject.
Yeah.
I think I did blurt out once that I love Our House. He's like, that's Graham Nash. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
You love Southern Cross.
That's
yes. Stephen Stills.
That's Stephen Stills.
I love everything he's written. All right. All right. And he's a committed sexy liberal. That
yes.
one is. Yeah. Who else? Lily Tomlin. Speaking of sexy liberals. She is just, if you wonder, she's exactly as hilarious in person.
Yeah.
We were talking about, because there's so much news in gay rights, obviously. Oh, everybody look alive. We have a gay basketball player for the first time ever.
Ever.
Right?
We have a gay professional.
And Jason Collins, welcome to the NBA.
Yep. He's the first gay, out gay player in any major American sport.
Yeah, and if Michael Sam gets signed, then we're going to have one gay football player,
and
too.
And there's one with the LA Galaxy as well, soccer player.
Right.
That's not one of the major four, though.
We don't.
Well, in the rest of the world.
I know.
Jim's so European.
Yep.
Well, the rest of the world has also had gay athletes forever. So.
That's true.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's not a big deal.
What was my point?
Oh, what?
Yeah. Because
what?
We know that those are the only ones in those sports, of course.
Of course.
Right.
No, but it does take courage to be the first out one.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah, so.
That's right. Yeah.
Good
Let's
on
hear
him.
For him. Hooray. Exactly. Good on him. Very exciting. Oh, but Lily and I were talking about people that have not told their parents yet, and she could make a fortune at this. She suggested Ernestine calling them.
Oh.
Because she goes, people can hear anything from Ernestine.
That's true. Wow.
She can start a service and call straight parents. Hello, is this Ernestine to whom I'm speaking? I am an information operator. I have some information for you. All right. Oh, and I was talking to her about the great, because remember last time we had her on, it was about, she does that great stuff for, Elephant Rescue.
Yes.
And elephant. What's the film? I'll Google it.
Not Water for Elephants.
No.
An elephant never forgets.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
No.
No. No.
Computer says no.
No. Neither of you.
She doesn't look a bit like Dennis Leary.
No, she does not.
Jane are big, animal people. And yes. Elephants. So anyway, I had you send me this piece in the LA Times. Fascinating piece. Wait a minute, I'm going to skip ahead.
Oh,
we'll go
okay.
Back.
All right.
We'll go back.
So we're done name dropping?
Yeah, for now.
All right.
Okay.
Jodie Hamilton was here, too.
Oh, yeah, Carol Burnett's daughter.
That's
and
right.
Her, and Lonnie, boyfriend, who is awesome
mm-hmm.
and also has an awesome band.
Yep.
Okay, hang on a second. Hang on, talk amongst yourselves.
God.
Well, listen, as I get older, you're going to have to paint. I'm going to be skipping ahead a lot because I'll be confused about.
And drunk.
Could be. I think we are. We're going to go. You know what? Maybe we'll do that for the next fun drive. We'll do guess how many bottles at Steph's party. And whoever guesses.
Yeah, how many did you.
Yeah, you know what?
Did you fill up two recycle bins?
I'm going to go count during the commercial break because it was epic. There were about 40, I think 40 people here or so.
Right.
Oh, here it is.
Okay.
It's right on top. Okay, that's the really sad thing about that entire thing if you're watching on Free
It was on
HD.
Top.
That was the one right here because I put that right here.
Wow.
Because I was going to talk about Lily Tomlin.
Where is
oh,
it?
Dear.
Where is it?
Oh, dear.
Where'd it go?
Oh,
what happened?
Damn it, Jim, you lost my... Oh, never mind. It's here. It's right here. Everybody stay calm. Everybody stay calm. By the way, we have a big Monday show as usual. We have Rude Pundit coming up.
Yep.
Eric Bollard and Julie Brown live in studio.
That's right.
The funny one.
Yes.
Right.
The Just Say Julie variety, not the downtown
right.
variety.
Right.
Yes.
Hilarious. The hilarious Julie Brown. All right. Yeah, this was this is an interesting piece in the LA Times. A trunk to cry on. Elephants console distressed pals, according to a study.
Those adorbs.
Aww. This is Totes Adorbs. Can
yeah.
I have some Totes Adorbs music?
They mourn their dead.
I know. First of all, when I read this piece, Republican Party's got to get a new mascot because this kind
yeah.
of empathy, caring for others, this is not, should not be the symbol of the Republican Party. Yes, when life gets stressful, Asian elephants help their pals feel better by trumpeting sympathetic noises and using their trunks to touch their friends' private parts.
Well, that's a reach around.
I may institute that rule here.
Oh, God.
Something go wrong technically? It's okay. I'll just do a little reach under. It's okay. Is it better now? Yes, I'll touch your trunk when you get distressed. The behaviors included touching the distressed elephant's genitals with their trunks.
Okay.
Putting their trunks in the distressed elephant's mouth.
Oh, dear.
Or making high-pitched chirping noises.
As you do.
Come on, we're sort of like a herd. We've been together long enough. I may just, like, gently stick my hand in Jim's mouth when he gets upset.
Mm.
See? He likes it. One of the researchers said, I think the genital touching in combination with other touches, specifically in this context, serves to reassure the other elephant. We also see elephants putting their trunks into each other's mouths, which seems to be a way of saying, I'm here to help you.
Wouldn't that be like you putting your nose in my mouth?
I'm going to try about this later. With their strong social bonds, it's not surprising that elephants show concern for others. Once again, Republican Party.
Yeah. No,
new mascot. Yeah. Yeah. Although elephants have been known to help others or display empathy in the wild.
All right.
Really? Has there, in the wild or captivity, has any Republican ever shown this? I don't think so.
No.
Because we know empathy is gay and French.
Yep. Absolutely.
The author said the evidence has only been anecdotal up till now. All the elephants observed, the adult male elephants were excluded from the sample. In the wild, elephant family groups consist of related adult females and their immature offspring.
Oh.
And by immature, you know, telling fart jokes.
Right.
Pulling each other's trunks. Saran wrapping toilet seats, you know.
Elephants don't use toilets.
Toilet papering trees.
They'd break them.
Male elephants leave their family groups when they reach sexual maturity and either roam solo or form small bachelor herds with exquisite uplighting. And they just
meticulously groom trunks.
It does kind of.
And six-pack abs.
The trumpeting does sound a little bit like, hey.
Hey, girl.
That does sound a little gay. You're right.
See what I'm saying? All right. Speaking of a little gay, it is Pride weekend, by the way, in Fort Lauderdale. Ken says, Steph, excited about your show here this weekend. We're off. We're all off. I'm off on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see you Saturday. Even we're front row left of center. My computer was too slow to catch the center seats. Well, you know what? That's why you got to go quick or you're out of luck.
That's why you should pretty much camp out at the Parker Playhouse all the time.
I believe so.
Just in case.
I believe it's gay pride, and I'm very. This could not be a more important time for gay issues because
mm-hmm.
This stuff in Arizona, first of all, it just, it defies logic, let alone, I think, any legal reasoning. So we'll have to see what our sexy liberal cause is, because there's too much. And then the gun stuff in Florida is too crazy, so we're trying to pick our our causes. It's a, but yeah, I was reading a bunch of stuff about that. How, first of all, how do you know some people are gay? You can't always tell if someone's gay. I mean, this just gives what anyone a license to discriminate against anyone, because somehow they assume you're gay and you've offended their religious sensibility or
whatever.
In America, I'm like, I this is just incredible to me.
Well, I mean, it seems to be written so broadly that I, as an atheist, can refuse service to Mormons or evangelicals just because they believe in a magical man in the sky that grants wishes.
Right, right.
That's how it seems written.
Yeah, I don't,
it's insane.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it, but it's like at a time we're making such, like, sort of blistering progress on gay rights. This is unbelievable, you know? I mean, it's, all right. A love letter. It's a post-Olympic love letter.
Okay.
From Laura and Kat in Cleveland. Laura writes, "Hi, Steph and the boys. Was watching our local Olympic coverage with my daughter, Kat, now 13, who wrote to tell you that you are her idol."
Oh.
Smart girl. When the sportscaster asked, what is the motto of the Sochi Olympics? Kat, without missing a beat, said, "No gays, no dogs."
Oh. Aw.
She's a smart little thing, because I'm her idol. Please come to Ohio with Sexy Liberal. We need you. I promise to bring Kat. I'll buy meet and grow up. Love to all of you, Laura and Kat from Cleveland. Aw. Smartest kids in class. Yeah, did you see they did the closing ceremony? They on purpose forgot the last ring as
that
a joke.
That was cute. That was very funny. Who knew Russia had a sense of humor?
Russia, with the jokes already, Jim.
I know. What's going on with that?
You know who's really good at writing jokes?
Who?
The Gomosexuals.
Better than Yakov Smirnoff.
Bruce Vilanch will be.
What the country?
Bruce Vilanch is playing same theater in Fort Lauderdale.
Is he?
Night before us. Yes,
cool.
I love him. He's one of the best comedy writers in the world.
He's very good.
Yes. All right. So lots to get to. And, also, we're trying to get John Nichols on the phone, because Scott Walker was not very chatty on Fox News over the weekend. Huh. Governor Walker was a little,
So he's not standing with Governor Walker.
No, he's not. No. He apparently is not. He's, he says it's all old news, all the, the unpleasant.
Right. Sure.
All right. So
of course, Fox News didn't ask him the tough question.
No. All right. So surprising.
Hmm.
Yeah. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, we roll along on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12. Stephanie Miller.
You know, I could help you with that stutter.
What stutter?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. All right. By the way, did you see? Can I have some festive music?
Sure.
This is very cute. Free Speech TV. Hello out there. Sent out a little e-blast. A lot of my friends sent this to me. Greetings. Since the Stephanie Miller Show debuted on Free Speech TV, it has become one of the network's most viewed programs. Yes, we are apparently bloating up people's Rokus.
We are.
Traffic is up 1,300%.
That's right.
We're told. That there is people in the know. after a record-breaking fundraising drive, we might just want to say thank you to our viewers and listeners, who are the awesome.
Yep. Y'all rock.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, a viewer wrote in and said, "I want to thank Free Speech TV for bringing on Stephanie Miller to enhance your already magnificent lineup. She is edgy. Her irreverence, not quite the serious tone of Tom Hartman or Amy Goodman." Oh, not quite.
No.
No. Just
they're still stunned at what's going on.
Right.
In the mornings here.
Right. Tom and Amy for the facts and all that. And we're for the fart jokes. Welcome.
And context?
Right. but just an amazing medium to deliver the same topics of social justice so important to most of your viewers/listeners. Why, thank you, whoever wrote that. Another wrote, "If Ms. Miller were actually funny, it would be different, but her attempts at humor are lame, over the top, or just ridiculous. What do you think?" Well, I tell you what I think. I think that person can shove it up their ass. That's what I think.
roll it up into a tight little thing.
I'm glad you wrote to them and not me, because what do we do with letters and say to whom it may concern?
You say it doesn't concern anybody
no,
here.
No, we just do that. We do circle.
Exactly.
Don't write to someone else then, because it does not concern. We do not give a...
Just throw it right in the fireplace over here.
Right. Oh, yeah, unless in the fake fireplace?
Fake fireplace,
here.
Yeah.
For those of you, and then here's the part about, for those of you who watch Free Speech TV through Roku, you probably notice that on occasion we've experienced technical outages because of...
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. So it was time to upgrade because the servers couldn't handle it, but they are doing it. Please stand by.
All right.
Yeah, they're almost there. So stand by if your Roku is having some...
Roku.
Due to my overpopularity. Except for that one person, who, as we mentioned before, can off. Okay. Well, Rocky Mountain Mike is on the phone? No way. Hello, Rocky Mountain Mike. Or no? Oh, you got a story about him. What's that?
Speaking of attempts at humor.
Wait, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Oh, hi, Mike. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, I had a Scott Walker sort of semi-brush with Scott Walker-ness for you.
Really?
No way.
Well, I was supposed to be on the Jim Bohannon show to plug my CD thingy.
Yes, Politically Incoherent, one of the featuring Jim Ward.
Available on Amazon and iTunes.
Yes. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And they unceremoniously dumped me at the very last minute because the host heard Jim Ward saying the word douche nozzle on one of the tracks.
Jim Bohannon doesn't go for the word douche nozzle.
Listen, if there's a better word for Scott Walker, I haven't heard it yet.
Well, yeah. that was to describe Mitch McConnell, so let's not
mix
up our douche nozzles here.
Pardon me. Well,
that very show, he spent an hour on the phone interviewing Scott Walker, plugging his book.
Oh, you say. Yeah,
so
Scott was not quite as
Jill's
Governor Walker was not quite as chatty this weekend about the questions about the unpleasantness.
Yes, I'm enjoying it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. And by the way, I thank you once again for We Stand with Stephanie Miller, one of my personal favorites. Any way you can work my name into stuff, I always love it.
Have a great day.
Thank you, honey.
You too, Mike.
There he goes, the original Rocky Mountain Mike.
Politically Incoherent, available on iTunes and Amazon.
All right, it is a big gay weekend, as we mentioned. We have, first of all, as we were saying, Jason Collins, God bless Brooklyn, right, who signed him.
Brooklyn Nets.
To the NBA. He will be the first openly gay player, and in fact, was yesterday.
Yep, they signed him
first gay dribble, first gay dunk, first gay everything yesterday.
No.
First gay screen, which sounds gay already.
No dunk, he didn't score.
All right, well, I was saying theoretically.
Theoretically, but you know, we still have a gay dunk out there to be captured.
Right, okay. All right, okay. Here we go. Jason.
I'm usually like, you know, the background, one of the background players, and it's weird, obviously, this. But at the same time, it is what it is, and it's part of life.
He seems kind of shy. He did.
Yes.
He didn't know what to say, really.
He's like, don't pay attention to me. He got nowhere near the rim, is what you're saying?
He didn't score. He only
really?
He played for 10 minutes, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. So, and then Michael Sam, obviously, in other big gay sports news.
Yes.
Because, you know, the Olympics are over, and as we know, there were no gays there.
Oh, of course not. Except for Johnny Weir. He was
single
night.
Oh, my God. Did you
night.
See the silver sequin outfit?
Every day he had something
to be a
different.
Commentator.
Yes.
I loved it. Oh, I loved it. Okay, Michael Sam, NFL prospect.
I just wish you guys will see me as Michael Sam, the football player, instead of Michael Sam, the gay football player.
Yeah, good point.
That would be the real progress, right? When we don't have to talk about this stuff anymore.
I am not a GM. I do not have control over my draft status. All I can control is me preparing myself to get the best scores out there.
Yeah. All right, so we got Eric Erickson said some stuff, and therefore there is comedy. He, you know, on the Arizona law, whatever, he said business is aiding and abetting sin when serving gay couples.
Oh, God.
Right. So we will talk about that. We have Rude Pundit. Much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Huge fan of the show.
Thank you very
much.
Yeah, hey, are you ever going to do a show on people who have crushes on their farm animals?
Why don't you call one of our producers? We have that 1-800 number.
Her name's Begonia, and I'm glad to tell you, she's one hell of a goat.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Our phone number, toll free from anywhere. Monday, everybody.
It's Lee Papa, the rude pundit. Pundit.
Good morning, Papa. Come to Mama.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad to.
You know, I'm not sure people are aware that in your you're also a university professor.
I am. I have a PhD. I have a doctor in this craft. Doctorate in this craft.
In rudeness.
Yes.
He has a doctorate in rudeness.
I'm a doctor, damn it.
Yeah, I am.
As Lily Tomlin would say, I'm a doctor.
Yeah, buzz off.
Buzz off. All right. Yeah. Rudeness, because you wrote a great piece about South Carolina college sophomore is appalled to have her idiot beliefs challenged in college.
Yeah.
That's not what college is for.
Dare she have to go to class and read a textbook that tells her that some people have opinions different than hers.
Right. That there may be other people that do not think like her parents did that Ronald Reagan was a saint or such blasphemy, right?
Yeah, and it's, she's in this social work classroom, which, everybody knows conservatives love the social work. And reading a social work textbook, and the social work textbook said, Reagan wasn't that great for women, and he wasn't that great for the poor and minorities, and that wealthy people like to have poor people around because it makes them feel richer, and, hey, they do the crap job.
What?
And she was outraged. How dare somebody say that? How dare they?
But it is hilarious how you take it through that they become, then the right-wing cause celeb. You say she achieved a right-wing nirvana. She was invited onto Fox News itself to talk with Megyn Kelly, the host so disdainfully blonde she doesn't give a that her first name is misspelled. About the end of her innocence. Kelly wanted to know, who is this professor who dared to assign reading that didn't adhere to strict National Reagan worship guidelines? She must be outed so we may twitchy her with scorn. What is her name, Chapman? Her name is Anna Chapman,
which was also the name of that recent Russian spy, the blonde Russian spy. Years back. Yeah. So she even shares a name with somebody who was hurting America.
And by the way, you imparted a fun fact that I did not know about you. You said the rude pundit was a conservative until about midway through his freshman year of college, when a political science teacher assigned us Locke and Rousseau. Did I say that wrong? I did. He could have very easily gotten in a huff and said, how dare you tell me that inequality of wealth is a problem for humanity? Instead, he debated. He changed. He didn't think his smelled like petunias and got angry if anyone told him differently. Wow, you expanded your mind in college. Is that a new thing?
I did. I was crazy conservative. I was like pro capital punishment. I came within 1 month of voting for Ronald Reagan.
I did it, and Jim therefore blames me for everything that's gone wrong in America. Because I was a little Republican USC student.
Oh, I was a Reagan youth. I belonged to the College Republicans. And
you still have your jack boots?
I found my very first voter registration card, and I was a registered Republican.
Oof.
So in college, I actually decided to listen to the professors and think that they weren't just terrible human beings trying to warp my innocent young mind.
Right.
And learn something. How dare that happen?
That's a radical concept all in itself. So speaking of radical concepts, Stand Your Ground Law, you say, your headline, Jordan Davis killer Michael Dunn was just another white coward with a gun. You talk about a whole conversation you had with a friend of yours, right?
Yeah. I'm talking to this friend. We were sitting and having coffee, and he had just been down south visiting family. And he's talking about his alcoholic sister's alcoholic boyfriend who likes to sit around with his AR-15s and take his AR-15s with him everywhere he goes because you never know. So at some point it's going to be go time, I guess.
Yeah.
And the race war will have to start, and you may as well have your machine gun with you.
Well, and you say, you know, that, as someone from the South, that just, you know, we have to stipulate that, yes, racism obviously still exists.
Right. Racism, and it's not going away. That, I mean, that's the sort of the tragic part of this, is that we want to think that, you know, that as demographics shift and everything, that it's going to eventually breed itself away. But unfortunately, what you have are people that demographic shifts are what's causing them to cling even more tightly to their racism. And along with their racism, you know, their guns go with that.
Yeah, but you go right to the logic of the law. You say the guns are the problem. Take the gun out of the hands of Michael Dunn, and he backs the up and drives away.
Yep.
See, if you have time to reach your glove compartment and get me your semi-automatic pistol out, you have time to shift into reverse. If the semi-automatic pistol ain't there, all you got is a car that moves in various directions. Without his gun, George Zimmerman sits in his car and waits for the cops. Without his gun, Curtis Reeves goes back to his seat and watches a movie, because these men and so many others are sees who would never push things to a confrontation without having a gun readily available. Thank you. All in, yeah. You're right. All three cases, they started the fight.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't remember a stand your ground where somebody stood their ground with a knife or their fists. You know, I only know that stand your ground is when somebody has decided to shoot somebody else.
Yeah,
and
you say it flat out. We have states that are filthy with racists that have been told they don't have to back down for anybody. Gee, that's not a recipe for anything bad to happen, right?
No, not at all. And you know, and I know that lots of states have this law. California, I believe, has a variation on stand your ground. But you know, the idea is more to add credence to self defense in most cases, not if. You know, if I feel like I might be threatened, I should be able to stand there with deadly force and take them down.
Yeah. Yeah,
to protect my girlfriend that I let go into the store even though I felt threatened.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of concern letters. I mean, I'm going to Florida Friday,
yep.
You know, for Sexy Liberal. And I'm getting a lot of letters like, be careful. And I'm going, what exactly makes you threatening? Maybe being a liberal? I don't.
Sure.
Maybe talking about this?
Anything.
I don't really, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe putting together a large gathering of liberals. Really a revolution right there.
I'm gonna have to use Judy Tenuta's accordion as Kevlar.
A shield. Yes.
Give me that. Bling.
Yes.
I just say I deeply loved your piece. Joe the Plumber can each and every one of us. you say, remember Joe the Plumber, and you were saying the whole reason he got famous, right, because he was supposed to be one of these upwardly mobile rich people that was going to be overtaxed by the president, right?
Right, right. He said he was going to buy a business and was going to put him in a higher tax bracket, and how dare he have to pay higher taxes when he's making more money.
Right, which, first of all, turned out to be complete bull.
along with his plumbing license.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he became a media darling on the campaign trail, right, with McCain and Palin, as you say. You know, Sean Hannity was on how many times?
Endlessly, yeah.
Yeah, and invited to give his opinion on everything, mm-hmm. like as if he... some sort of seer. And then you say he's now a member of the United Auto Workers at Chrysler plant in Toledo. Isn't that something? The same Chrysler that received a bailout from the federal government under Barack Obama that prevented it from going bankrupt. That's the same bailout that allowed Samuel Wurzelbacher, his actual name, to have a job. The same bailout that Samuel Wurzelbacher, the 212th Republican candidate for Congress, opposed and said was government overreach.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so
except
rich.
Except when it applies to him. Then
yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that part that he actually, when he was running for Congress, was and he was the Republican nominee. He did win the Republican primary in his district. But... It's just amazing that he was actually against the auto bailout.
And he celebrated. You say workers at the VW plant in Tennessee voted down unionizing. So he celebrated that on his blog.
His blog has these posts that are like, yeah. And he'll even say, you know what, now he'll say, well, you know, it's okay if people want to vote to join a private union. And it's like, dude, you know, you understand all the benefits you're getting because you're going to be part of a private union?
Yeah, as you say, Wurzelbacher, the self-professed good and loyal conservative, is eating the fruits of liberalism and refusing to acknowledge it. What he's getting as a UAW member at Chrysler, you say, The 2011 contract, good for 4 years, includes higher hourly wages for new employees, yearly bonuses, profit sharing, cheap medical care, oh, and the right to strike. As a UAW worker, he will have security in a way he's never had in his life, and all because progressive workers and politicians fought together to make sure he could have that security. Oh, it's so rich. It's like foie gras.
It is. Hey, you know, I actually read something that was from a UAW worker at Chrysler that was, "Welcome, brother Wurzelbacher," and, you know, essentially saying, you know, here's your, this is what unions are supposed to do. They're supposed to reach out to the workers who don't believe in them and change them.
I hope every morning someone says to him, "Oh, good morning, comrade."
Yeah.
Oh, comrade,
thank you, liberals. Thank you for my fancy union benefits.
Good morning, brother. Can't you wait for the next can't you wait for the next contract negotiation when we can really stick it to the man?
Which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on?
Rudeness, great stuff, honey. Talk to you next week.
Bye.
All right, there he goes.
Rude pundit.
Professor.
Dot,
professor Doctor. Professor Doctor of Rudeness.
Yes.
Lee Papa. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Eric Bollard from Media Matters at the top of the hour, 49 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. Corky in Rochester. Hey, Corky, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I want you to add that list, Wurzelbacher there. Add Hannity to that list, because he worked for the UAW when he was going to college.
Uh-huh. Oh, did he
know? All got their hand out for the big money that other people fought for.
That's right.
Wow.
Much like the wars that all the people fought for that they're so gung-ho about.
Wow. Exactly. Thank you, honey. Oh, by the way, our friend Sean... Didn't he get caught doing a money bomb for a tea party?
Yep.
You know, they're supposed to be nonpartisan. They're not really of any partisan stripe at all.
Huh. Yeah, Fox News, because it's you know, full of journalists
right.
and all.
Right, right, right. Well, except for Brittany, and we can't understand what the hell he's saying. But if we could.
And wasn't Carl Cameron caught on tape saying to Cheney or Bush or something, my wife and I campaigned for you, we're really rooting for you?
Right.
Yes,
right.
I
that's
believe.
Weird.
Yeah.
Fair and balanced.
And yet he covers campaigns. Huh. They call him Campaign Carl over there.
Yeah. Wow. Really?
And so they call me concentration camp Erha.
And you know who else they tend to have as a guest a lot, as do Republican gubernatorial candidates? Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
That lovely Ted Nugent. Who once Flip Me the Bird on live television. On the old Politically Incorrect.
Huh. He also crapped his pants to get out of Vietnam.
I remember they had to marble it out. Oh, yes, he did do that as well.
Yeah,
pulled a Nugent.
Yes, a headline is immediate. Even conservatives can't figure out why their politicians are hanging out with Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love this. A couple of conservatives.
Oh, dude, I just nudged.
Which is not quite as bad as rokering.
No.
Pretty bad.
Yeah. Actually, nudging is worse because at least rokering is just a little.
It's a little bit.
Little
All
bit.
Right, you know what? Let's just let's move on.
That's a great visual. People are having breakfast.
Two conservative writers said they see the right as being starstruck, a problem when your political party attracts so few stars. Nugent is beloved mostly because conservatives are so desperate for celebrities that they're ironically enamored of them. Oh, my God. That
oh
is pathetic,
my
really?
God.
That's the best you can do? Hmm. I think we mentioned that during the last campaign that we have every, like, musical celebrity in the world.
Yeah.
And I think George Bush had Biz Markie, as I recall.
And JoJo.
And JoJo.
And Gary Collins.
Wow.
Sense of pitch? That's something you don't have.
Yeah, I don't know if you were paying attention to this last week. After several days of controversy surrounding his foray on the Texas campaign trail, the rocker right-wing agitator expressed regret for using the word subhuman mongrel about the president. He said, I did cross a line. I do apologize, not necessarily to the president, but on behalf of much better men than myself. I regret using the Street Fighter terminology of some human mongrel instead of just using more understandable language such as violator of the Constitution, the liar that he is. Much better. An Abbott spokesman said that while the candidate did not always endorse or agree with the language Nugent used, he appreciated his forceful advocacy for individual liberty and constitutional rights.
Uh-huh.
Whatever.
How do you, I mean, seriously, and how do you get away with this? Like, you can't have a guy like this on the campaign trail and say, well, I don't believe anything. Well, then don't invite him along. That's not what he was talking about. He was calling the, yeah, anyway, I mean, why are we even paying attention to Ted Nugent?
Because he crapped his pants to get out of Vietnam.
Exactly. Must you bring that up again? That is so unfortunate.
It's true.
But right. Crack fever.
All right. Speaking of other atrocities on Fox News, Eric Erickson. So this whole, it's not just Arizona, actually. These what are they calling them? I mean, I don't even know. It's like pray the gay away law. I don't even know what the hell. It's not even that. It's
no.
You can discriminate against anybody you even suspect is gay, I guess.
For religious reasons.
Right.
It's to protect the religious in America.
The homophobes, right. A lot of people have made the by the way, if you were going to make policy based on stuff in the Bible, you could start discriminating against whole lots of people,
oh, yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Erickson engaged in a Twitter
damn
back
Pharisees.
And forth with Kirsten
Hate
Powers over her recent USA Today column criticizing Kansas Republicans for nearly passing a bill that would make it legal for private and public sector workers to refuse to provide services to those they suspected of being gay. Smell Jim Crowy at all, anybody?
Yeah.
Powers is an evangelical Christian, but nonetheless felt the Kansas proposal, which is being copied, obviously, by Republican lawmakers throughout the country, was a mistake and would amount to a new anti-gay form of Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
As part of her argument, Powers notes that Christians work with people they consider sinners all the time, including serving unrepentant murders through prison ministry. Erickson wasn't having any of it, telling Powers over Twitter she was mistaken and that any business owner who decided to refuse service to those involved in the same-sex wedding or marriage were actually abstaining from aiding and abetting sin. First of all, what, you think those people are going to stop being gay
right.
if you don't take their picture, you know, or provide flowers for, bake a cake for them?
Yeah.
Aiding and abetting. He also tweeted, I disagree with your prison ministry line. That ministry comes after the sin, not aiding and abetting it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Really? You're helping someone be more gay, even though they were born that way?
It's post sin, so that's okay, but
right.
if you're helping gay
you're
people,
actively helping people become more gay by yeah. taking their picture
right.
or baking a cake for
oh,
them.
God.
And
what a country.
Yeah, what a country, as Yakov Smirnoff would say.
Right.
A lot of great pieces about this in the LA Times. Is this the 1950s? Arizona's legislature wants to legalize prejudice. I mean, I can't imagine. Oh, you were saying we're not sure if Jan Bonefinger is going to sign it with her bony finger.
Not sure. She has vetoed similar legislation before.
But, yeah, this is like the second time around.
But she's term limited, so this time she just may say, you know, what the hell.
I don't understand how this would ever stand legally anywhere. But
there are lawsuits already lined up just in case she does sign it.
Reading the latest news out of Arizona on gay rights brings an image to mind, Jim Crow. A lot of people making that analogy, mm-hmm. this one in the LA Times. Now imagine a baker refusing to sell a wedding cake to a biracial couple because his religious views don't include interracial marriage.
Yeah.
Imagine a hotel owner denying a room to a black couple because her religion deems blacks inferior. There are such religions.
Mm-hmm.
And a restaurateur barring the door to African-American diners would be met with protests and process servers.
Yep.
Such acts are illegal. We have managed to shake off those vestiges of our nation's shameful past. And operating a business, this is a great point. Operating a business is not a religious right.
Nope.
If personal religious belief precludes you from selling an item to a gay person, the answer is to shut down your business.
Yeah, exactly.
One hopes we have learned from our history of prejudice and segregation.
Yeah.
Not to mention, as I was saying earlier, you can't always tell when someone's gay.
Right.
What does this open the door to legally?
Exactly.
I mean,
And John Stewart played a clip of someone who was talking on All In
yeah.
with Chris Hayes, or the guy said, you're still allowed to say, well, I'm a bakery guy at the national chain supermarket, but I'm not going to bake a cake for this gay couple's wedding. And then John Stewart said, let me stop you right there. You think a gay wedding's going to have a supermarket cake?
Yeah, as you say, Brewer has been noncommittal on this one. Her office says she wants to review it.
Yep.
LA Times says there's not a lot to review. To sign the bill would legalize prejudice. And I, as I say, I just can't imagine how this is going to stand, you know. I mean, well, particularly depending on when marriage equality goes to the Supreme Court and what happens there. I mean,
Well, Arizona has a history of passing boneheaded legislation that can get shamed by the rest of the country, and so they have to reverse
it. Not to mention, a couple of friends and I think we told you this before, thinking of selling a reality show called Guess the Gay. Is there just going to say several people we know? You would guess wrong. I'm just...
What do you think of that?
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Eric Bollard on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Rocky Mountain Mike with a suggestion for 2016. Nugent Palin, 2016, and the quitter.
Oh.
See, because he stands to cut the army, so it'd be, okay. And she's the quitter from Twitter,
That's right.
We know. All right. Oh, and I got a love letter on my Facebook page.
Yeah, Kenneth Colbert says, you should have a show in Cuba. You'd probably be welcome there. I'd flip your show on once in a while for a laugh. Never seen so much BS in my life.
It's probably exactly the same.
Thanks for sharing.
you liberal communists.
Stupid.
You do know that liberal and communists are not the same thing.
Why don't
at all?
You go live somewhere?
Go live in, like, Russia with all the commies.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your thoughts. All right. So much to get to with our good friend. Eric Bollard from Media Matters for America, doing the Lord's work as usual.
Eric Bollard.
Come on, baby.
Eric Bollard.
Let's dive into the right-wing world.
I don't know what that means.
Eric Bollard from Media Matters, whom we love.
Bollard.
You know, Chris, I could if I hadn't just paid to put the studio in here. Maybe you can find out how much an ISDN line to Cuba is.
Oh, right away, Ms. Miller.
Right, thank you. Otherwise, I would. Relocate immediately. All right. Eric Bollard, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. Great tweets as usual. You say you can almost sense the disappointment today at Obama-hating Fox that the Ukraine isn't still a bloody mess.
Yeah.
With a Democrat in the White House, they celebrate bad news. Yeah.
So last week, you know, they held off for about 24 hours before blaming Obama for this internal civil war in the Ukraine because, you know, it didn't make any sense. I mean, the country had been slowly sort of splitting apart, torn between, you know, the corrupt leader who wants to go with Russia and the rest of the country, which wants to look to... So, you know, it had nothing to do with the United States. But after 24 hours, like, oh, the hell with it. We're just going to blame them anyway. So, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and you could just sense they were building up to a big Sunday show, you know, show all the, you know, the chaos in Kiev.
Right.
And it turns like, oops, you know, so far... It's all gone in the right direction.
Of course they credited him for the good news.
his quiet leadership and Susan Rice and John Kerry and the whole team, right, they all got laurels. So, you know, they basically, you know, they blame him, and then when things take a turn for the better, you know, it's sort of radio silence then, you know. It's just so pathetic, and it's so robotic, but it's a pretty good example of how everything is Obama's fault, and more broadly, how Fox News for 5-6 years now has just absolutely celebrated bad news. I mean, when gas prices were going over $4, it was like a national holiday over there. They could barely contain their glee because that was all Obama's fault. But you know, when prices
it's
down
interesting.
To $3, it was market forces. Right. Had nothing to do with
it. Well, interesting with the Olympics just closing. I mean, I don't think any of us will ever forget, Eric, when they celebrated us losing the Olympics, you know, when they celebrated Chicago losing the Olympics.
Yes, when, you know, Obama personally lobbied and his wife was involved and the whole city. That was a really early telltale sign. What was that, like 2009, 2010? And they were literally like,
right.
there was an electronic jubilee on the right-wing blogs when they lost.
Right, because Chicago no longer in America, obviously,
right.
Since the president.
And that was, like I said, that was like the early telltale. We're like, whoa, wait, we're rooting against America now? This is how this works? Okay,
I
understand the rules now.
Yeah, and I love your tweet. Hillary's favorable ratings bounce even higher. Hashtags Benghazi smear campaign working wonders for the right wing.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this year. I mean, we've talked about it endlessly. But, yeah, they really went all in January and February. There was the Senate report, and, you know, this was going to be the undoing and blah, blah, blah in terms of the cover-up and in terms of, you know, Fox News trying to concoct a story that's not there. But her polling numbers continue to be stellar, and I think I linked to a Pew or a Gallup poll where it showed specifically her favorable rating had actually rebounded in the last month. People are feeling more favorable towards her. Of course, she beats Chris Christie in Ohio by 13 points and all that other stuff. But it's definitely. We see this drumbeat of this bubble, you know, specifically Benghazi, you know, the more and more they mention it, the less and less it matters.
And so it's
sort of this, they're on this dead end road where they think the louder the drumbeat gets, the bigger the story is, but conversely, it's getting less and less important.
Well, and despite helpful tools like David Gregory, I don't know if you saw his interview yesterday with, you know, Susan Rice, but still this, like, combative tone, and she's just calm as a cute, she's like, right, yes, well, that's been disproven, right, yes, well, the report shows, it's like, what,
right,
they keep trying to make there to be a there, right?
Yeah, they've completely internalized this talking point that Benghazi's a big deal, it's a big story, there are unanswered questions. How is Hillary, if she runs for president, possibly going to deal with all these unanswered questions? And none of it reflects the real world. I think that is the downside. I mean, virtually every Sunday this year, every Sunday, every talk show, there's talk about Benghazi. And
by the way, I was
none of it matters politically.
Yeah, I was going to say, by the way, speaking of Christie, you also tweeted Christie's worst nightmare at town hall meeting. New Jersey voters are more pissed at him for botching Sandy recovery than they are about the bridge.
Yeah, right. So, you know, one of the spin was, oh, he didn't get any, you know, he didn't get any bridge questions. You know, it's all behind him, which is kind of a joke. But also, on the flip side, I mean, he had, you know, these town halls. This is where he became a star and all these YouTube clips. They were heckling him. I mean, at one point, someone from the shore asked him, you know, why did you spend $50 million privatizing this? Why did you fire this company in December and not tell anyone? And he's sort of stuttering and not answering, and a couple people start yelling out, answer the question. So this, as the Times and some of the New Jersey newspapers pointed out, the shore, I mean, that's where he used to take his victory laps. I mean, he would literally put him in a convertible, and they would line the streets, and now they're like, you screwed this up. Where is the money? And his response was, it's Obama's fault.
Yeah, of course. Well, and by the by, I love the just because you always give us such a sense of history. You tweeted, you'll be totally shocked to learn this, but in 2007, when GOP and Bush were fine with raising the minimum wage, so was Fox News.
Yeah.
Weird. Yeah, I mean, it just is amazing.
It is amazing. And so, yeah, I did go back and I looked, and, you know, and people might have forgotten. I mean, it took Democrats years and years to build up momentum. But when they captured the House and the Senate in 2006, the first thing they did was up the minimum wage. And I went back and I looked at the coverage, and I was trying to find out where, you know, examples of minimum wage depicted as socialism and all these people are lazy and it's going to kill millions of jobs. And, oh, even if we pass it, hardly anyone makes the minimum wage. These are all the current talking points on Fox News.
Yeah.
They didn't exist.
No.
It was barely covered, and it was covered at all. It was covered in news stories about the jockeying over the negotiations. There was no hysteria about the minimum wage. Why? Republican Party voted overwhelmingly.
That's right.
The minimum wage passed the Senate. Three people voted no in 2007.
Right.
That just really tells you, incredibly, we keep talking about this, how radical the conservative movement, the Republican Party, the right-wing media has become. Three people voted no, and today every Republican would stand up and filibuster raising
wow.
the minimum wage.
And
again, Fox News, so back then, Bush was for it, Republicans were for it, and so Fox News just sat on their hand. Today, it really is, you know, you talk about minimum wage, and it just elicits this hysteria.
Yeah, and which brings us to your delightful piece about Ted Nugent and how the conservative press can't hide its hate streak. I mean, you know, and this has become, you know, this is not just someone on the lunatic fringe where he belongs. He is campaigning for the presumptive governor, maybe. You know, he's Abbott. The other thing is Abbott's ahead in the polls, right?
Yeah.
Like, what, you really got to gin up your crazy bigoted base?
He has no real primary challenger. He certainly doesn't have a Tea Party person running to the crazy right. He had Wendy Davis on the run. She had been having a couple tough weeks, I think, partially because of some unfair coverage about her bio.
Yeah.
And so he is just cruising along. He's in Texas. It's the reddest state in the country. And someone on his staff decides, hey, let's dial up a race baiter and misogynist. Let's put you on stage next to the guy who called Obama a communist nurtured subhuman mongrel. That'll be good. That'll be good for
and
her.
And Hillary Clinton, a toxic C word.
You can't even talk about. I mean, Media Matters, we had to put the not safe for work. I mean, when we compiled Ted Nugent's... Look, Romney got away with it, and a lot of other prominent people have gotten away with it. But it was not in the cards this time, and one of the reasons was because Media Matters found this quote from January, subhuman mongrel talking about the President of the United States. And so that captures nicely what he represents, and it gave a way for reporters to say, why are you campaigning with this guy?
Right.
So it was a disaster for Abbott. I don't know if it's going to make a difference. Again, we're talking one of the reddest states in the country, but it's a mind-boggling, unforced error, and it certainly would make me question the competence of a campaign that is absolutely cruising to victory and decides to have someone like Ted Nugent. But and it's become a larger question. Nugent's going to be on CNN tonight. He's going to run his mouth some more. People are going to keep asking the Republican Party. Ted Nugent was going after Rand Paul on Twitter because Rand Paul said she'd apologize. So, you know, all of this is going to continue to hound them because they've decided they needed these sort of right-wing jerks.
Yeah, and oddly, as you say, Fox News has yet to cover it. Interesting.
It is interesting. They love Ted Nugent. He was on for a softball interview just a month ago on Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
So, why don't they just defend him? If Ted Nugent's such a great guy, if he's getting beat up for no reason in Texas, why doesn't Sean Hannity have Ted Nugent on? Why don't they? You know, it's funny they don't defend their people when they come under the spotlight, and so now they're pretending.
I mean, but I mean, I think as you know, just to conclude, as you always say, it just is so emblematic of where the Republican Party is. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking I can't even imagine what my dad in Goldwater would think of this level of discourse that the Republican Party is fine with associating themselves with. I mean,
Ted Nugent and you know Alex Jones and four, five, 6 years ago, you know, these are people that were on the fringe. They sort of some of them sort of wallowed in the gutter. Republican Party wouldn't give these people the time of day. Again, unless you're talking extreme red districts buried, you know, within Alabama or Mississippi or within a district within Texas. But a statewide race, no way.
Yep.
You know, they used to rely on dog whistles, but that has become too subtle, I think.
Yeah.
So now they just go all in on these hate surrogate.
Yeah, they're not.
And it's amazing. Yeah,
they've just dispensed with nuance altogether.
Yeah,
all right, the death of nuance. Eric Bowler, great stuff. Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right.
You need Doppler effect.
All right, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
I thought Marcus was every woman.
Oh, dear. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 25 minutes after the hour. Why are you frowning? What's happening?
Nothing. I'm concentrating.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm concentrating on the levels of the music while you talk.
Oh, I see. Okay. 1-800.
It's not all about you.
So that's what you do.
I thought it was gastrointestinal in nature. I apologize. All right. John Nichols from The Nation magazine coming up at the bottom of the hour to tell us the latest on Scott Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Who was not so chatty on the Sunday shows yesterday. And John has the latest information. We've not seen him since the last Sexy Liberal in Madison. We will see him again next month. Very, very exciting. He has all the latest on what's happening with the Walker. I wonder how many people will indeed stand with Governor Walker. Maybe not so many.
I got repeated cards and letters asking us never to play that song again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like someone said it killed the part of my brain that can process music.
Music, yeah.
Yes. Again, the right-wing talent, not so
no.
much. Not right. Not so much. All right. So we've been talking about it's been a big gay sports weekend. Michael Sam, by the way, who hopefully will be the first out openly gay NFL player. Mm-hmm. Jason Collins just joined first the big gay basketball game yesterday.
That's right.
Jason Collins, the LA Lakers and the his team, the Brooklyn
Nets.
Nets.
Used to be the New Jersey Nets.
Right.
But they moved to Brooklyn.
Right. Okay.
I've been in locker rooms that with all kinds of slurs been said, you know, and I don't think anyone means it. I think a little naive and uneducated, but you know, as time goes on, everyone will adapt.
I tend to believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you got to have a practical understanding of what goes on in the world.
Just went through this with the military, for God's sakes. None of the fear mongering happened. Everything is fine.
Oh, next the gays will take over musical comedy, and then where will we be?
Right. Anyway.
Yes, there wasn't a single gay in the producers.
By the way, so we've been talking about these unbelievable laws, Arizona being the latest. And I love this. Salon has a great piece about Wingnut's most audacious lie yet, quietly pretending their views are liberal. They're like co-opting liberal language to try and say, oh, this, you know, religious, it's about religious freedom or
whatever.
Yeah. Following the state Senate leads, Republicans in Arizona's House of Representatives voted on Thursday for the new bill to turn their state's LGBT residents into second-class citizens. According to Arizona Republicans and their supporters throughout the country, they do this to protect religious liberty. Trademark, Republican Party. A stark reminder that terrible decisions are often made in the name of an abstract good. So this is in the real world, they're saying, like bills put forward in Kansas, Idaho, Oklahoma, Hawaii, and Mississippi will become a weapon of exclusion and an impediment to the further integration of LGBT Americans into everyday life in America. A testament to ours being a time of universally recognized change on the issue of gay rights. Social conservatives and are mounting a desperate assault. We said this Friday. This feels like, you know, last chance, like grasping at straws or something. They are utilizing liberals' language of inherent dignity and fundamental rights. Like, fundamental right to what? Be a homophobe?
Sure.
These laws allow folks in both the private and public spheres to refuse service to anyone whose behavior, I love that. Like, you could have gay behavior, right? And not, I mean, and that, like I was saying, what if you're not gay? What if you, someone,
what if you're perceived to be gay?
Not, right. That's what I'm saying. Not that it even should matter. But
right.
I mean, this is just such
what
a...
What if you swish a little?
A tiny bit.
A tiny bit.
What if your loafer is not entirely light, but of a medium weight?
Sure.
Or assume behavior they consider sinful. Blah, blah, blah. One would think the GOP would like to be electable among people under 50 sometime in the near future, said one analyst, and would thus avoid supporting Jim Crow-style anti-gay legislation. At this point, it looks like that's an open question. I mean, what happened to the GOP? What was that thing called? The autopsy? Or whatever? Has that been...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's been killed again.
Oh.
Weren't they supposed to be getting more magically inclusive?
Oh, yeah.
I don't... Yeah, and then, by the by, conservative Christians selectively apply biblical teaching in same-sex marriage debate from the Daily Beast. You got to read that piece because, again, a very slippery slope we're going to go down if we're going to use the Bible as something you're allowed to, you know, use to discriminate against people. All right, 29 minutes after the hour, John Nichols from The Nation, all the latest of Governor Walker's troubles on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey, you stay away from the frozen food section. Your boobs will harden.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Got a email this morning from our good friend John Nichols at The Nation magazine. Mm-hmm. He, of course, our beloved Madison, Wisconsin. We will see him next month. John Nichols, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Your email was so enticing because you said, I've known Scott Walker for 20 years, and I'm struck by not just the words but his body language. He's shaken.
He was shaken. You know, because he did, it's very appropriate to come on after your brilliant guest, Eric, because, you know, Scott Walker, as most people know, got in a little bit of trouble last week. They downloaded 27,000 emails.
Right.
Pages of emails, I'm sorry, from a investigation into illegal, and I might add, felony illegal
right.
coordination between campaign and public servants. And then thought, well, where do I go for a safe, where's my safe zone? Where do I go to talk about this so I can say I've, you know, done a good long interview about it, but it's a safe place. I know, Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace.
Fox News, exactly.
Yeah, what could be better? So he goes on there with Peter Shumlin, the very sweet governor of Vermont, and Wallace sets it up perfect. He asks Shumlin a couple of, you know, vaguely tough questions, and Shumlin gently deals with them. He turns to Scott Walker and says, now, Governor Walker, you've had some problems in Wisconsin. And you could see my good friend Scott Walker, you know, just sort of tense up.
Yeah.
You know, like, where's that? I thought I was going to be asked about how bad Democrats are.
Yeah, you're like, I hear a sphincter snapping shut somewhere. Is that's not me, is it?
It's like, what? And then Chris Wallace, to his immense credit, and pay homage, Chris Wallace, to his immense credit, starts going through the details, all the unanswered questions. Well, I'm sorry, maybe 5% of the 1,000 unanswered questions.
Right.
And he goes, but he says, you know, but you know, this is all this stuff has come out. Walker goes, it's old news. And Chris Wallace says, it's not old news to a lot of people in Wisconsin, and frankly to a lot of Republicans who thought you were the shiny penny after Chris Christie. And then Walker keeps doing this thing, and finally there's this fabulous quote from Chris Wallace where he says, sir, you're not answering my question.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Brutal. And then, but the best of all is, in response to that, instead of breaking down and saying, you're right, I've got to be frank, I've got to say something different here, Walker
right.
literally repeats the same thing he said in the previous answer, but
right.
closes it off with the line, I think I've been pretty straightforward here.
Right. And then he says it's old news.
I know. Like,
oh, all the law breaking was in the past. How does that matter now? Right. Yeah.
And it's not, this is the bizarre part about it. And of course, this is what happens all the time. I cover politics for a living, you know, because I don't want innocent, decent people to have to do it.
Right.
And so it's the fact of the matter is politicians, you know, they play games, they spin stuff, and they often get away with it because they're state politicians going on a national show.
Yeah.
And the national show doesn't know the game. They don't know everything that's in play. So and Scott Walker Sr. saying, this is old news. It's all been adjudicated. It's all been dealt with. Why did the emails come out? They came out because one of his closest aides, who was convicted of felony wrongdoing in a public office.
One of six convictions.
Yeah, well, right. One of six indictments.
Indictments, sorry.
And various convictions, somebody in jail, you know, stuff that would give the Stephanie Miller Show, you could do a special for 3 hours.
Yes.
On this package. But the thing is, this is ongoing. The emails came out because they're still wrangling over her sentencing and also over issues of whether, you know, some of the charges and things like that. And there's a second John Doe inquiry going on.
Yeah.
This isn't all done.
Yeah. Well, and I would argue that this is worse than Chris Christie. It's just, you know, Chris Christie's had a bigger, you know, because he's in close to a media center, right? I mean,
you are so right.
Somebody was saying, John, that we had on last week that, you know, if there had been the same kind of scrutiny, he would never have been mentioned as a front runner for 2016 because people know that this stuff has been going on.
So right. In fact, to be honest, if you had the New York tabloids and the Philadelphia paper, it's tabloids as well, or tabloids, mm-hmm. going after this stuff, in the way that they do, you know, taking pictures of people going into courthouses, a front page with the pictures of the six aides who've all been taken through, like, and the many other aides who are potentially chargeable in some cases, maybe, or, and then the emails which are back and forth with the governor himself, but also, perhaps most importantly, coming out of this 28,000 pages of emails, the racist.
Oh yeah, sexist, I mean, there's not just. I mean, right. I love. Yeah, this was the the Walker's chief of staff forwarded an email joke that read, "I can handle being a black, disabled, one-armed, drug-addicted, Jewish, homosexual, but please, oh dear God, don't make me a Democrat."
You know, but
which
it's
is hilarious.
I'm gonna smack you down there. I think you left out the anti-immigrant and anti-Mexican-American component of that quote.
Oh, well, that's the one I'm reading. But
in that joke, that so-called joke, in addition to everything you just hit, it's going on about, oh, I've got a Mexican boyfriend. I mean, it's just terrible.
Now it's much funnier. Okay.
And then the other one, the other so-called joke they sent around, was a picture of four dogs comparing him to low-income people of color.
Oh.
And then his aide, high-up aide, sat in his office, did campaign work from his office. His high-up aide says in her tagline, this is something like, it's so funny, .. and so true.
Yeah.
I mean, these are people, and I think we
once again, this is why there is not a sexy right-wing comedy tour, because you would need the comedy in there at some point. But you're right. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, it's reflected in their policies, but that they think is funny behind closed doors.
It bleeds into policymaking, because these are people, these are not campaign aides. These are public servants, people put in charge of different areas of county government. County government in a multiracial county where you provide a lot of services to poor people.
Yeah.
And you're putting out pictures of dogs.
Yeah.
And they provide mental health services, Stephanie.
And right.
They are joking about, you know, people.
Yeah, crazy people. No one cares about crazy people, right? One of them said.
Yeah, this is pretty. I would just tell you that I think that some of us who cover politics for a living, we would like always when big stories like this break to have, you know, to focus on a lot of the process stuff and the doing campaign work when you shouldn't and, you know, very serious issues. But I think what will ultimately resonate is a quote from Scott Walker just in January, where somebody said, well, how should we judge you as a governor coming onto the national stage? And he said, well, you should judge me by who I've surrounded myself with.
Yeah, well the respect, you're like, okay.
Yeah. We just got 28,000 pages of who you surrounded yourself with.
John, how do you think this is all going to play out? And do you still think, well, first of all, his reelection and, you know, the presidential chances?
Well, you're very wise to ask it that way.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love how often you point out how wise I am, and I think that's wise of you.
Yeah, because she ain't getting it from the other two in the room here.
Well, I mean, it's reflected glory, of course. And at some point, we do have to talk about how, you know, one of the MOOCs would set up a secret wireless system to communicate. But
yes.
Going to your core question there, you're wise to separate the two because it's important. Wisconsin is a deeply, deeply divided state. It has gone through the political ringer. Polling shows it's the most, you know, literally kind of in-your-camp state in the country.
Yeah.
That's
why we started Sexy Liberal there. That's how it started, is us going, we got to help with this recall. This is, you know, and we got some of them, didn't we? And we got
the
governor.
It was won when you were there, but then you left, and then it fell apart.
Yes, yes.
But the recalls were highly successful.
Yeah.
Control of the state Senate was shifted. Walker was prevented from doing a right-to-work law. I mean, history is complex in this stuff, but the key of defeating Walker did not occur. Now he's up for re-election in a very deeply divided state. These emails, this information has a mid-level effect there, I think a significant effect, but it's not going to be switching a lot of people because people are so much in their camps. It causes the tiny number of people who are in the middle perhaps to see Walker a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
It might motivate, I don't know, you read your list off that so-called joke, it might motivate more people to come to the polls in an off-year election. So there are significant factors there. There's one other factor, and this is kind of amazing. Newspapers that endorsed Walker and that opposed the recall are blasting this across their front page.
Huh.
Right.
So they're waking up to, you mean maybe this guy's kind of snowed us on some stuff.
Yeah. Well, it's like so, the papers in New Jersey that endorse Christie. They're like, sorry, we up. Like, sorry, we take it back.
So that's real politics. That's, yeah. That is a, but that's a, those are subtleties. That's stuff that will play out as this complex, hard year of politics plays out. And I do think something's happened in Wisconsin. The energy around, among the people who are opposed to Walker, is up. When you come for your sexy liberal tour, you're not going to be there with people who are like, oh, it's so hard, it's so depressing.
Yeah.
This has caused a kind of a boost, I think.
Yeah.
At the national level. Different game. National
well, it's, level? You know, exactly, fired up our base, which is important. Yeah.
Right? But then here's the flip on the national level. Imagine that you're like a Republican and you're like, you're all excited about Chris Christie in December. It's like, yeah, we're running Chris Christie and we're going to whip Hillary Clinton. He's the fresh new guy. He wasn't in Washington. Now you look at Chris Christie and you're sort of like, who? Right? He didn't even do press conferences
right.
at the Republican Governor Association. They say, but it's okay. Chris Christie went down. Now we've got this fresh new face. Scott Walker.
Yeah.
This is the, I believe Scott Walker will suffer from Christie creep.
Yeah, Christie creep.
Which is.
It's like Christie cream, but different.
Yeah, Christie creep.
Well, John.
Which is that Republicans are going to say, man, we put our stock into a governor we didn't know much about, and then a lot of bad stuff came out. My sense is that the biggest damage to Scott Walker right now is to his national ambitions.
Yep. Well, listen, and I will send him a gift basket to thank him for all the new material for Sexy Liberal. And we will see you next month, my friend.
You know, I'm so excited you're coming. People are, you know, all hopping, and they want second, third, fourth, fifth shows. But I won't
in the
middle of that.
You know I love me some Satan worshippers in Madison. I always have. All right, honey. Talk to you
Take
soon.
Care.
All right,
Be
sweetheart.
Strong.
See you. Bye-bye.
Madison, Wisconsin, where we expect those people to be communing with Satan up there in the Madison, Wisconsin.
Right. Bring your own pentagram. Okay. See you then. 46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number up the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Comedian Julie Brown live in studio in just a few minutes for the whole next for the hour.
For the hour.
Speaking of which, Piers Morgan is going to get canceled.
Yeah.
And Larry King says he is available. If they just say they're sorry, and maybe if they send him pro flowers and some Sherry's berries and type Stephanie in the box.
It would take a little more than that.
He would come back for more than the hour. I miss my Larry.
I do, too.
All right. Let's go to Al in New Mexico. Hello, Al.
Hello, Steph.
Hi.
Good to talk to you, Hunt.
You, too. Go ahead.
I spoke to you, the person who answered the phone before, and told him that I was an 87-year-old retired Army man, a veteran of three wars, during which time I served with an awful lot of very nice people. Some of them were gay, but by God, they took care of my life.
Wow. Yeah.
Also black people. And what is really getting me disgusted is to see these idiots in Arizona, what they are wanting to do. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
They claim that a gay person chooses to be that way. If that's so, then does a person who is born handicapped, do they choose to be handicapped?
Really good question.
That's a very good question. Thank
and
you.
And also, I have visited numerous national cemeteries where all of the bodies have above them a white cross. How many of those people underground, under those crosses, are black? Get my point?
Yes.
Yep.
To go to one of these places, right, including I've been to Normandy, I've been Punch Bowl and in Hawaii, to visit them and to say a prayer. And I don't see anything there that says what nationality.
That's right.
What because color they
matter.
Are.
Because right. it doesn't matter. Right.
Veterans who gave their life to protect these
protect all
people
of us.
Who
That's right.
and these sports teams owners, the majority of the professional athletes are black. If you think about that, okay? They don't want them to vote, but like an example in Texas.
Well, that was a while ago. That was a while
Dallas
ago.
Dallas Stadium.
Right. All right.
And
Al.
You see the guy sitting in his box, and he's cheering for all of his football players, and the majority of them are black.
Okay. All right, Al. Thank you. Good points.
Thank
good points. And thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate.
I appreciate your service. Thank
you. Back and watch your show, which I watch every day.
Thank you, Al. Thank you, and thank you for your service. All right.
Three different wars. Wow.
Wow.
That's kind of amazing. WW2, Korea, and Vietnam?
Yeah.
Possibly, yeah.
Christine in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
What show am I on?
The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gotcha. Good morning, everyone. Everybody's into the House of Cards. Well, how about the GOP House of Cards? Meaning that it's going to be falling down. Because John Kasich... He is number three after Christy Walker and now Kasich.
Mm-hmm.
Watched the state of Ohio. I watch it every week. And prior to that, I think Hayes or somebody was talking about these emails that have come out about the ODNR, you know, conspiring to baffle and, and bamboozle the Ohio voters due to this fracking law.
Because
Kasich, a year and a half ago, he had signed House Bill. I forget what the, House Bill was.
Mm-hmm.
But he signed the bill stating that he has decided to frack and drill in state land. Well, the ODNR, along with guess who? Wait for it. Halliburton.
Mm. Our old friends.
Friend Halliburton has been, ginning up, this advertising and promotional programs for how we should be able to do that. Which is no, and now Kasich is saying, since the emails came out, Sierra Club asked for the information regarding, Kasich's statements on the issue, and the Sierra Club is, shoveling through all kinds of emails and whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's denying that he ever said that, but he signed the freaking House bill.
Yeah, yeah, well.
So here's another GOP person, that was on that backbench of potential presidential candidates, like way backbench.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he's saying that he never said any of that.
Hillary's laughing yet another pantsuit off.
Yes, I know.
Maybe there is a Clinton hit list. Who knows? Because they all seem to be going down. All right. It's a partial love, partial hate letter for us.
Okay, I don't have partial music.
Well, just go with whatever. Because we always love constructive criticism, don't we?
Oh, sure.
Well, it depends, right? I mean, okay, Laura, Steph, because she's someone that just started watching a freak, it used to be a listener.
Mm-hmm.
Steph, I've only listened to your show on the radio, currently on 1350 in Albuquerque.
Uh-huh.
Woot. Until just recently, I now have Roku. Right. It's so much fun to see all y'all in action. I especially love seeing the handsome and romantic Max and Fred. I've come to notice a few things I never would have picked up on by just listening to the show. Stephanie, you're so gorgeous. Thank you. But
you just like Pat, that SNL character, Pat Stevens.
But
Pat, you're a former model. Thank you.
Thanks. But it pains me to always see you in a baseball cap. Not to sound like your 91-year-old Republican mom, but you have such a pretty face. Why not show it off? I think your hair is two shades too dark for your complexion.
That's your natural hair color.
It is my natural color, Laura.
You may get a little touch up here and there, but
right.
That's your natural color.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Chris. Did God make me two shades too dark, Laura? Is that it? Jim, dude, you always looked so bored, always surfing the net or doing the crossword when your focus should be on Mama. That's right. Me. I always thought The one good thing about being in a bad economy is that people appreciated his just having a job. You are a genius, and I love you, but get with the program, man. Chris, I have nothing for you, sweetheart. You're perfect. What? Whoever writes a letter like that? Chris?
I'm far from perfect. What? I'll be the first to, to admit that.
Thanks for all the wonderful. We'll see you in May in Albuquerque. Yes, I will. All right, 58 minutes. Pay attention, Jim. Are you paying attention?
Hmm? What?
Right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yes, it is. Why?
Why?
Because, look, it's a human fun fact. Julie Brown, the funny one.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here at your house.
And I did the joke that you've heard a million times. I turned around and I went, I thought we booked downtown, Julie Brown.
I know, but it's okay. It's all right. And I told you it did happen one time to a producer who's doing an Earth Day special. And he said, I met him later, and he goes, oh, my God, we once were trying to book you, and downtown walked in. I'm like, there you go.
Uh-huh. Just heard someone yelling, we said the funny one.
Damn it.
Good morning. And we were saying how magically the timing, because the Olympics just closed, and so last night they aired a Tanya and Nancy retrospective.
Oh, my God. It was so...
And you did the funniest. What was the name of it?
It was called Attack of the 5'2 Women.
That's right.
It was like 20 years ago. But that's how long it was ago.
Right.
So the fact, and then they said, they promoted it by saying, Nancy's going to break her silence. And you're like, what?
Who cares?
Her silence? And so she was trying so hard to come off as a nice person.
Right.
Like you could just see her like, oh, what do nice people say? Jesus, how does this work? Like her. She was trying to go, well, she was raised, you know, it was
she's
hard
kinda
for
white
her.
Trashy.
She wanted to say that, but she's like, it was difficult. Right. And, you know, she had to skate in a mall. That must have been hard. And,
And she's not pretty like
and
me.
And she's not pretty. And her mother, they showed, I had forgotten this because we did this research. Tanya's mother is the greatest character. They showed her smoking a cigarette, wearing a fur, with a parrot on her shoulder.
Oh!
Totally.
That's great.
Totally. And she's like, yeah, I do what I can. I do my best, you know. And you're like, poor Tanya, of course.
I didn't raise her to smack people in the knee. We don't know where she gets that.
Where she gets it, even though I have to smack her every so often. You know?
We were saying, though, it's 20 years later, and it is just the greatest catchphrase when you want to whine about anything in your life, personally or professionally, right? You just
why?
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 Why? She didn't say why me.
Right. I've added that.
Yes.
How many times have you heard me say that over anything?
Every day.
Right.
Constantly.
How could she not know cameras are on her? I always know when cameras are on me, like right now. Like, how could she not know?
Right.
Right?
Right. Why? Why would she not?
Why?
And then when she insulted Mickey Mouse at Disneyland and said, this is so corny.
That's what put her over the top. Everybody kind of had a little sympathy for her until then.
Yes, they did. Except, do you remember when she lost to Oksana Biol? And she was backstage, and there was another mic on. She's playing, and Oksana's running to get her, you know, this orphan wins. And
she was drunk, so that must have hurt.
It must
Nancy,
have hurt. And she's running to get mascara, and Nancy's like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
Now, who's going to see her? I mean, she's just horrible.
Oh, my God.
She looks like a commie.
And I'm just saying, she's a competitive person. It must have hurt that Oksana Biol was presumably drunk when she beat her as well. She had a bit of a...
I know. Isn't that sad? You think she was drunk that day?
Maybe. And that's got to sting even more. I just pulled off a triple axel, and I am plot.
Wow.
You suck. I mean, that's the best you could do sober? Whatever.
Hit me in the knee. See what I do. Nothing. Am I complaining? No.
I can't even feel it.
That's training in Russia.
Tanya didn't bother with oxygen. Yeah. She'd be like, what? Did something happen? I don't feel anything. I mean, all those characters, now they come back to your mind. Remember the guy that actually hit Nancy in the knee?
Jeff
that human beanbag chair.
Oh, yes, that guy. Well, and then she had a bodyguard named Sean who was like 300 pounds, and it turns out he was one of the people who got involved in hitting her. and he's just a complete moron. And Jeff Galooly, the best name ever, was her. Who was the mastermind?
That was back when Tom Brokaw had to report it.
Jeff Galooly.
Yes.
Her husband, ex-husband, who was her ex-husband at the time. So that's how she was, you know,
right.
Plausible deniability.
Right.
Right.
Plausible deniability.
Poor Jeff Galooly. Yeah. What was the name of your thing? You did, it was just the most hilarious thing. You played Tanya and Nancy.
And Lorena Bobbitt, too. I did it.
Do you remember? That was around the same time.
That was the same time. So yeah. It was after Medusa, and then they gave me a deal to do another one. So I'm like, who do I want to do? So it was Attack of the 5'2" Women because they're both tiny.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was one half was Tanya Harding and the other half was Lorena Bobbitt. So that was really fun, too. It was so much fun.
And she's seriously, laugh until you cry stuff. I remember watching those. And Medusa, you referred to, you parodied Madonna, the Madonna film. Just beyond hilarious. How does one get those things still? Because it doesn't even matter that they're 20 years.
You get them on my website, juliebrown.com.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had to figure out how to get them to people who wanted them. So that's where they go.
And interesting with all this, I'm going to Florida Friday where we have all this Stand Your Ground craziness going on. And of course, you are here to one of the things to promote the musical, Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun.
It's called Homecoming Queen. We changed it to make it sound a little nicer. Homecoming Queen's Got a Musical.
Mm-hmm.
I know. We took the gun out of the name. But yeah, I'm here to promote that, which is March 28th and then the weekend after, whatever that is, at the Cavern Club in Silver Lake.
Cool.
But they can get tickets, the same thing, JulieBrown.com. You got to come.
I'm going. It's close to me.
Yeah. And we put a link up at Stephanie Miller's Facebook page.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.
Fabulous. And then our favorite, you debuted it on our show when Sarah Palin was running.
Yes. Which
God.
Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!
Right.
Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen's got a gun. Everybody run. Queen has got a gun. Is this really happening? I don't believe it.
All right.
I'm going to work that song until,
absolutely.
Get everything out of it.
Our personal favorite throwaway line at the end of that. Oh, I think I winged a homo. I mean, these gun laws have gotten so insane. Does anyone think there is anything wrong at all in this headline out of Florida? Judge orders guns returned to blind Florida man who stood his ground against drinking buddy. Anybody? Anything? Anybody strike? Anything?
There he is.
The point being, you just shouldn't be without your gun, even if
you are blind and drunk.
Blind, drunk.
I stand my ground against somebody who I think is there. My spidey senses is telling me this is a guy who
can stand your ground against random noises. Right.
Where are you? Where did you go?
What's that? Yeah.
Why are you going there? Oh. It's such a dangerous place.
I know. My listeners are concerned for me. Yeah. We're going sexy liberal with the big Florida gay pride is this weekend.
Well, we were just in Arizona.
Oh. Right.
We missed out on that law.
There's nowhere for the homos to go. It is. John Wayne Rogers, a blind man, acquitted of killing his friend James DeWitt under Florida's Stand Your Ground statute, successfully sued the state to have his guns returned to him.
Wow.
Prosecutors had charged him with first-degree murder in the shooting death of his house guest.
Who's there?
Well, he didn't have to leave the light on for him because he's blind. So he probably also was dark in there, and he was drunk and armed. What could go wrong? His house guest and drinking companion, James DeWitt. Rogers claimed that he asked DeWitt and DeWitt's girlfriend to leave after the trio returned from a 10 a.m. beer run.
Oh. Okay, wow. Right there is bad.
DeWitt refused. Rogers testified. So Rogers went into his bedroom and retrieved his rifle, as you do.
When house guests won't leave.
Right.
Or anybody really won't leave.
Right. When he returned to the living room, DeWitt charged him. Rogers shot him in the chest. Rogers was freed after a mere few hours from jail after the judge granted his stand your ground motion.
Wow.
Wait, how can you stand your ground in your house?
Right.
Right?
Against someone you can't see?
That you've invited in?
Right. Rogers, you'll be surprised to know, has an extensive history of violence. In 2010, following another night of drinking, he shot at his cousin and roommate 15 times with a handgun. Not the greatest shot, I guess.
No.
Well, he's blind.
Michael Rogers was not shot. John Rogers eventually pled no contest to one count of unlawfully displaying a firearm for which he was placed on probation. Well, that seems fine. The probation was revoked when he punched a woman, which led him to spend 71 days in jail.
Sounds like a winner.
Where can I get this guy's number?
Yeah, right?
He sounds hot.
Despite this history, Rogers convinced the man who granted his stand your ground motion, Judge Galuzzo, that the state had no right to keep his confiscated weapons. So that's good news. He has the drunk blind guy has his guns back.
Wow.
He shot his drinking.
That's everybody like run. The drunk blind guy's got a gun.
That's a whole other place when they think like that, right?
Yeah. Well, I guess.
How do you train to shoot it? I mean, you can't really see the target that you're practicing with.
Right.
It's like a bat, like with sonar. I don't know.
Right.
Just going for the sound.
That's what I said. You can stand your ground against random noises. What could possibly go wrong? And then this just for the is not ironic file. Man shoots himself in the leg after leaving gun safety class. Officers responded to the area of South Congress Avenue in Neptune Drive where a man said he had accidentally shot himself. He told police he just left a firearm safety class and had pulled over to inspect his new Glock handgun.
Isn't it ironic? Don't you think? It's embarrassing. He shouldn't have admitted to going to the class. It's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Right.
Right?
The cop was like... Sorry, you just came from...
You came from what?
From what? Were you...
Show me this again. Wait.
Were you drunk there when you the class?
Oh, boy. All right. So lots to get to.
He took a Glock to his class.
Right. Exactly.
Jeff Galooly took his Glock.
Jeff Galooly. Yeah. Glock to a class.
All right. Right back with more with the human confection, Julie Brown, in a moment. 17 minutes after the hour. Yes, yes, JulieBrown.com as we continue the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the dirtiest show I have ever been on in all of my life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Steffi. Steffi. Filling the Nick Gilder void in radio.
Of course.
Yep. It is the Stephanie Miller Show with comedian Julie Brown, guys and gals.
Guys and gals, hi.
Oh, did you see Sarah Palin is coming back to television? Very, very exciting.
Speaking of voids,
she has a new reality show called Amazing America.
Oh, no. Wow. She's going to go all over America, point out the site.
But only the Republican parts.
I hope she gets them
those
right.
Those are the only parts that are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not the homo brown people parts.
No. Boo.
Right?
Boo.
Ooh, here she is.
America, prepare to be amazed. Amazing America with me, Sarah Palin. Premieres Thursday, April 3rd at 8, only on Sportsman Channel.
Wow. So, do we get to watch her killing things on this show?
Yeah, presumably. From a helicopter, perhaps? Shooting wolves, whatever. Wow. Yeah, America, prepare to be amazed.
Hilarious.
Oh, golly.
Like, we didn't know about anything in our country. She's going to point it out.
You know what Americans would be amazed at if she had a coherent thought or a grammatically correct sentence.
That would be
people like, wow.
Why do they keep giving her shows?
I don't. Who can say?
Right.
Yeah, but it's quite a step down from Discovery Channel to the Sportsman Channel. I mean, I think you have to go up into the 700s to find the Sportsman Channel on your cable system.
Yeah,
listen,
you're right.
As you know, she was Tina Fey, played her unbelievably on Saturday Night Live. You did in your homecoming, or Girl VP's Got a Gun. And now, as if on cue, Victoria Jackson is running for office in Tennessee. Former Saturday Night Live dingbat.
I know. Do you know? I mean, have you been reading about this?
Yes.
Why?
Yes.
You know what she's running for?
Why?
She's running for Williamson County Commissioner position, District 2. Because she hates what's going on and she thinks Fox News is too liberal. And, you know, she needs...
Who doesn't?
She feels she needs to represent, the regular person.
Uh-huh.
Right? And she's against Common Core. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's the textbooks that Obama wants you to buy, to use, all the kids to use. And they promote, you know, like...
Kenyanism?
Kenyanism and Muslimism. And the Bible, and they teach kids how to masturbate, that's wrong, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean,
I really
once
you ought to just freestyle that.
Yeah.
You know, just improv.
Because once you know how to masturbate, once you know where the go button is, you don't want to stop.
No.
I didn't
off button once you find go.
Once I didn't find it till college, and then I stayed in bed for a week. So I don't think young kids should be knowing about that. So I'm hoping I win.
Oh, my God. Remember the right-wing crazy? What was her name? Jocelyn Elders, our Surgeon General under, was it Clinton?
Yes.
So she said something like that. We should teach our children how to masturbate.
Well, she didn't say how to masturbate.
Right.
Teach them
to do it.
About it.
Right.
Okay. That it exists.
Yes.
Right.
That it's an option.
Listen, sure. And you're right, it does never stop. I don't know if you heard Barbara Walters. She revealed on The View that she still uses a vibrator at age 84.
A vibrator.
That makes me happy.
How old? No. That's my widow vibrating wabbit.
I want to know that I want a vibrator when I'm 84, don't
How
you?
How funny is it that there are ones called a rabbit?
Hello.
This is my little wabbit.
I'm hunting wabbits.
No, the wabbit is hunting me. Yes, and that information caught the eye of a company called Phalanx.
So, really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Wow. They sent a letter to her offices in New York about her touting their latest creation, the Babs. Which is the Babs line.
They named it after her?
The Babs line, a self-pleasuring device made of special smooth glass developed by NASA eggheads.
Oh. But you could break it if you squeeze.
It's
that wrong?
It's been getting pleasure a little too much.
It's designed to go especially slow for the 60 and over crowd. They are looking to partner with Walters for a product that will please even the fussiest old biddy.
You don't want to.
Does it say that? The fussiest old biddy?
Well, it's from TMZ.
Oh, okay.
It goes slow, so it's like a vibrator with a walker.
Yes! Right. It's like
it's a vibrator and the walker.
Right. It's a vibrator combined with Olivia Soprano's wheelchair. Motorized. This could take a while, but what else do you have to do? Right? At that age. Parcheesi, buy ribbon candy for boys.
Sure.
I don't know.
All boys love ribbon candy.
All right.
Especially Joachim von Ribbentrop.
In other entertainment news, the Hills are no longer alive. The last Von Trapp has died.
Oh, I saw
that. As a musical artist yourself.
I saw that. I mean, at the end of the Olympics, that was so strange, wasn't it? That
right.
Maria von Trapp.
Well,
right?
The Hills are fine. The Von Trapps are dead. Maria von Trapp died this week of natural causes at 89 years old.
That's amazing, and I know I should be sad, but I'm not, and but I'm a little bit sad.
No, you're searching for a joke. I can see
you.
I can see you.
The wheels are turning.
I can see your wheels turning.
Are you saying you feel trapped?
All right. So we have lots more to get to. We have more celebrity stack for Julie Brown and much more. And I'm sure you have more thoughts on Victoria Jackson and her electoral chances there. In Tennessee. Is it Tennessee? Tennessee.
It's Tennessee.
Right. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, we're back with more Julie Brown, the funny one, on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's beautiful, all right. Shapely. Seductive.
Thank you. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Julie Brown's funny one, live in studio with us in her Hollywood t-shirt.
My big tie-dye, Hollywood t-shirt.
Sexy liberal t-shirt.
I think you should make that your legal name.
Julie Hollywood?
Julie Brown, the
I don't want
one.
Any
the
more nicknames attached to my name, okay?
I know. Hard. So people think you're a crazy Hollywood liberal and that you have a very responsible son in college.
I am. I have this super responsible son who's an architecture major at Berkeley who works constantly. Whenever I talk to him, he's like, yeah, I'm doing math. Yeah, I'm in the lab. Yeah, I'm like 4 a.m. I mean, he's done that. So,
wow. And you said you remember college. It was fun.
I was,
partying.
Drinking. I did coke when I did Happy Days.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
oh, wow.
Like,
Yeah. So, I mean, that was just a brief time period.
why won't the kids listen to us and take after us? What's with the studying?
But... no, he's worked his ass off, and it's kind of, it's great. And then I'm always telling him just, you know, have fun or relax or go do something because he's working so hard. Then I was talking to this guy yesterday, and he was talking about his son who just got a DUI, same age,
right.
And doesn't have a job. And I'm like, smoking pot, and you go, this is how it can go.
Right.
Like, yeah. I forgot that.
A cautionary tale.
It is a cautionary tale.
So that's a reason to be proud of your son.
I'm so, and maybe, yeah. I called him up.
And despite your best efforts, your son did not turn out that way.
Exactly. And I called him up last night. I go, thank you for not being a douche. What?
Like Joe Lieberman, as you would often say. I don't know. I don't even know why we kept this.
Joe Lieberman, douche.
Okay.
Yeah, we kept that.
I love that. Thank you.
Does anyone even remember who Joe Lieberman is?
Not really anymore. He's kind of
right.
Fallen off the face of the earth.
True.
Yeah, not really.
Still
yeah.
A douche, probably.
Sure.
But, yeah. At any rate, Julie Brown, we were saying, well, you are very excited about Victoria Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, by the way, Kathleen Madigan was in with us. Was it last week or the week before?
A week before.
Before, yeah.
And told a delightful story about being in a van full of comedians with... Victoria Jackson, go. Where were they going?
They were in Florida somewhere, I believe.
Yes.
Somewhere.
And she said, oh, are you and your husband still in, and was it Florida? Still living in Florida. And, mm-hmm. and Victoria said, oh, we got to get out. And
it's too liberal.
No.
It's worse.
Oh. Kathleen's like, oh, really? Why? And she goes, what would she say? Is it the taxes or something like that? And she goes, oh, no, it's the N-words. But she said the N-word.
No.
Yes.
And this entire van,
full,
van
of
full of
comedians.
Everyone just like.
Wow.
And
I'm
then
putting
they
this
all,
in my act. Like Lewis right. Black was in the...
Right.
Yeah.
And then they all started arguing whether they were all racist because none of them said anything. But Lewis is like, wow, we were all so shocked.
I'm surprised she still identifies herself as a comedian.
Right.
Because
well,
that was a while ago. No, right. She's a politician now. And she's running for Williamson County Commissioner position, District 2. And I'm really excited to announce my candidacy.
Oh.
It can't, whatever that word is. Because it's my first time running for office, and I want to be an example to other morons and moms and regular folks to get involved in government. And one of the other things I'm really against is Agenda 21. Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, they're trying to push innocent policies like bike paths.
Right.
And walking trails and remove citizens from their private property, which is, terrible.
Right. They're
trying to push global warming. Stephanie, America is a spiritual battlefield, and I'm on the right side. That's Ephesians 3:16.
Right.
So I know I'm going to win.
Right. All right. Thank you, Victoria. Thanks for that little appearance.
I think you should challenge Hillary further.
Oh,
I wish.
A debate between those two.
That would
oh
be
my
fantastic.
God!
Fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, because we were saying, when you talk about like what is comedy and what is. I remember when Saturday Night Live, they didn't have to write anything; they actually just did the transcript of the vice presidential debate with Sarah Palin.
Remember that?
Or the Katie Couric thing? That was what it was.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. They didn't write, or they wrote another sentence, or they did. They hardly changed it.
Right.
I'll try to find you some, and I'll bring them to you.
Okay. Bring them to you.
But anyway, and then so we were saying that I don't know which is the Saturday Night Live sketch, which is real. And you just had to Google this because we thought, is this an Onion headline?
Yeah, no, this is real.
In the wake
real.
Of Michael Sam and Jason Collins, the first openly gay NBA player, just
right.
played his first game yesterday. He was just drafted. Washington's top-rated lobbyist engineering bill to block gays from joining the NFL. And you're like, that doesn't sound real. I need to Google this. And it turns out
I Googled
it.
This guy is real. This lobbyist.
Right. He's top-rated lobbyist.
But how isn't that just completely illegal?
I would think so.
Yes.
One would think.
Yes.
Yes.
One would think.
Jack Berkman, CEO of Berkman heads what is D.C.'s top-rated lobbying firm, said today.
Top-rated far-right lobbying firm.
Right.
Yeah.
He's working on legislation that would ban gays from joining the National Football League or presumably any other reindeer games.
Sure.
Come on, Dave!
Steve, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Too late on the NBA, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to let that one go. All right. But don't you...
It's done. Yeah, it's done.
No other sport... Okay.
Don't get okay with the NFL.
All right. He said, we are losing our decency as a nation. Imagine your son being forced to shower with a gay man.
Oh, oh no.
Oh, my God.
That's a... That's a horrifying prospect for every mom in the country.
Every mom?
What in the world has this nation come to?
Whatever. I heard Marcus Bachman is all over that.
A drama queenie for a straight guy.
It kind of is, right?
Yeah. Wow. A little over the top there. You're a mom. Is that the most horrifying prospect?
Of my son... Sharing with a gay man, no. No, the most horrifying. I'm not even sure what, but that's never even
right
come into my head. I mean, I'm always saying to him, because I always want him to go to musicals with me, which he's not that interested in, and I'm like, where's my gay son?
you were actually horrified that he did not turn out to be gay.
I am. And he said that to me. He goes, I know you're kind of disappointed. a little. I'll deal with it.
You wanted a shopping buddy.
I did. He wouldn't have left, right? He'd just be hanging out with me, doing fun things.
You don't go to Broadway. You have no idea what kind of shoes look good on me.
I ask him, does this look good? He's like, I don't know. And I'm like,
what good are you?
Good are you? So,
shoe shopping.
Did what? You have to have, like, the talk at some point? Did he have to come, Mom, like, big cartoon hand, Mom, can I talk to you? I got something to tell you. I hope you'll still love me. I'm straight.
No, he didn't have to have the talk with me because I already knew. I remember when he was little and he was watching a Victoria's Secret commercial came on and he goes, she's pretty. He was just drooling.
Worst fears.
And I'm like, whoa.
Your worst fears.
Oh, no, my son's straight.
Turn the TV off immediately.
How could you do this to me?
Your worst fears realized. Here, go to Chippendales with Mommy.
Let's watch Will and Grace again. Something
might want to take.
It won't.
Oh.
That's funny. Okay. John Fugelsang, sexy liberal John Fugelsang said that before when his wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
We don't care if it's a boy or girl as long as it's gay.
I love that.
Can you take out your organ for Julie, please?
Right away, Ms. Miller.
Yes. This is the thing we were talking about. These horrible laws. Arizona's just the latest, right? I mean, this is unbelievable that so it would allow anybody, right, public or private sector, to discriminate against gay people if they just say... It's their, religious belief. The other thing we're going, how do you know somebody is gay even? But you don't have to serve them, right?
Right.
Or you can not serve them in a restaurant.
Yes.
Yes. If you're a photographer, you don't have to take their picture. If you're a baker, you don't have to bake their wedding cake.
But how do you know they're gay?
Yeah, that's what I was
exactly
saying. Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, for a gay wedding, but I'm just saying.
What if they were gay, like, for a minute?
Oh, what a fabulous window treatment.
Listen, apparently Arizona not familiar with the sexual fluidity
phenomenon
that I'm quite acquainted with.
Oh, believe me, Arizona is.
Gay in college, you don't get a wedding cake? What? That's not fair.
And what happens with, like, bisexuals, for instance? There's a conundrum.
That's fluidity.
All right, I'll be straight today because I'm hungry. Let me in. Yeah, and then you can just come back the next day to taunt them. Ha ha, guess what I ate today? I ate. Ha ha! So conservative Christians selectively apply biblical teaching in the same-sex marriage debate. Many on the left and right can agree that nobody should be unnecessarily forced to violate their conscience, but in order to violate a Christian's conscience, the government would have to force them to affirm something in which they don't believe. Couples, if you lined up 100 married couples and asked them if their florist affirmed their wedding, they would be baffled by the question.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Since when is that, like, affirming your wedding, a florist or a cake baker?
But their belief is baking cake.
It's a business. As we were saying, it's not a, having a business isn't a religious right.
No.
And if you're a business person, you want all of the business that you can get.
Right.
So why in your right mind would you turn down business just because of something
crappy
silly like
business
that?
Business person.
Right. Yeah.
But this is they're pointing out about if you look at everything in the Bible, if one has been divorced, vendors should ask why. Because in the Bible, if it's not the correct answer, that's not a biblical wedding.
Right.
They should refuse to. You know,
have you ever had a pork, cheese, and shellfish sandwich?
Right. If your hotel is hosting the wedding and you don't see rings on both individuals' fingers, you must refuse to rent, you know, to rent only one room. I mean, it's such a slippery slope. Christian wedding vendors and the leaders admonishing them to turn away gay wedding customers seem unconcerned about all these other categories of unbiblical marriages. The truth is telling vendors to only provide goods and services for biblical ceremonies is an exercise in futility. There's not a baker or florist or photographer in existence who hasn't provided services for an unbiblical wedding. I mean,
yeah, plus all the new gay weddings. Why would you throw that business away? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, there's a little bit of breaking news. John McCain just tweeted, I hope Governor Brewer will veto Senate Bill 1062.
Oh, and so he and Lindsay, because he and Lindsay wouldn't be able to find a photographer or a baker.
And also yesterday, Senator Jeff Flake hoped the same thing about.
Wow.
About
that's crazy. What's happening? That's crazy.
And he's Mormon. So,
oh my God.
Yeah.
Lindsey Graham has gotten his most vapors ever.
Yeah.
Good for him. Just kidding, Grampy. Good for you. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Julie Brown live in studio on the Stephanie Miller
Show.
The funny one.
This is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oi! 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 Julie Brown!
Hey!
Comedian extraordinaire, live in studio on Stephanie Miller Show, 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Okay, you have to say what you said to Julie during the commercial break.
What did I say?
Richard Simmons.
Oh, yeah. I took a Richard Simmons aerobics class taught by Richard Simmons in his studio in Beverly Hills.
Oh, my God.
And it's called
Richard Slimmons.
And why were you there?
It was for a birthday party.
Oh, my God.
And then we went out for drinks afterwards.
And you told us something else that I did not know, a fun fact about Richard Simmons.
If you're lucky, he will pull you aside after the aerobics class, and he will read your aura.
Would you like that, Jim?
Not sure.
Oh, well, you're a Taurus. Of course, you're too stubborn to believe in that.
The class was a hell of a lot of fun, and he keeps his old... It's the original aerobics studio that he started with back in the early 80s, and he keeps it to keep himself grounded to his beginnings.
Wow.
But apparently he's really good.
Jim used to believe in astrology, and then his numerologist told him it was bull.
So
your aura is probably overwhelmingly negative. Let's go to Claire in New Jersey. You're on with Julie. Hi, Claire.
Hi, how are you? I guess I have a slightly different approach. If Jan Brewer signs the bill this week, which is a big if she signs it, I say it doesn't really matter. Here's why. Because anybody that chooses to quote-unquote exercise the religious freedom and refuse service, you ever been to a business that says, we have the right to refuse service to anybody we want? Well, that's a business. A business is allowed to refuse service to anybody they don't want, meaning... If they don't like the person even, they're allowed to say, hey, I don't like you. Get out of here. They don't even need a reason. So
it is against the law to discriminate based on...
Let me finish real quick.
Whatever, Russ Perot.
Here's why it doesn't matter. If they do this, if a business itself has the chutzpah or the cojones or whatever you want to say to do something like this, they will face a local backlash. And please, let's not pretend. If one florist says, oh, no, I'm not going to give you flowers for your wedding... You think there's only one florist in Phoenix or in Arizona?
Right,
no, there's
Chris
tons of other places to go.
That's my point, and now I'll
shut up and listen.
Lunch counters.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead. What were you? Go ahead.
No, you can't discriminate against someone just for the mere fact that they have brown skin or that they have a same-sex partner.
Right.
I mean, if they're being belligerent to your customers, absolutely. Kick them out of the store. But the mere fact that they have brown skin isn't... a reason to discriminate.
Yes.
No, he's just saying it doesn't
matter. I don't like your aura.
Right. Exactly. Presumably, you could have Richard Simmons outside reading people's auras, and if you did not like their aura, you could refuse service.
Sure. Yeah, if you had a gay aura, he wouldn't serve you. Right?
All right. This is a story about how all straight people are perfect and not gross at all. College security had arrested for jerking off into coworker's shoe.
Oh.
What?
Um,
Jim, what was happening down here when I just went upstairs a minute ago? Gawker brings us a story.
Something wrong with your shoe?
My Ugg is feeling particularly bouncy.
Ew.
Joe Marcus is the director of public safety for Concordia University in Chicago. He was until a week ago when he was arrested for ejaculating into the shoe of a female coworker in her campus office.
Oh, wow. Thank God it was a female shoe.
Wow. Right? See, at least that it's, you know.
It's always shoes?
Well, it was this time. According to police, the employee reported seeing him exit her office around 9:30 p.m. while buttoning up his pants and fastening his belt.
Mm-hmm. Gee, what could
when the woman confronted Marcus about what he was doing in her office, he allegedly stated he was checking the room because the door had been left open.
Right.
Oh, there's a light that doesn't work in there. I'm going to take it up to my laboratory.
Why, my sweet little tot, the fake Santa Claus lied. There's a light on this tree.
Right.
That won't light on one side.
Yes,
so I'm taking it home to my workshop,
right,
my dear.
Fix it there?
I'll fix it up there.
And I'll bring it back
here. I'll bring it back here.
But will you ever think and I'm definitely not jerking off into your shoe? Police say after he left, the employee discovered a clear liquid inside one of her shoes.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Clear? In Cindy Lou Who's shoe?
Really gross. Detectives interviewed him at his home, and he later admitted to entering the office and committing the loot. Okay, yes, I into her shoe. Okay, you got me.
I love that detectives were called.
Yeah.
You know that's a bad day for them, right?
Can't give anything for that 911 call. Oh, my God. That is so gross.
Come over here now.
I'm sorry. Your co-worker, what?
He jerked off in my shoe.
Is this a joke?
I'm guessing she got put on hold. You guys, come here. Everybody come listen to this. All right. Julie, I'm not sure if you are a believer or not.
Of course I am. Oh, my God.
Really? He's particularly douchey, Justin Bieber, these days.
I know. You know, the thing is, I think because he's the same age as my son and his friends, I have like a soft spot for him, right?
Yes.
Even though I know he's an idiot.
While Atlanta's rich are protesting his impending residency, according to TMZ, Justin Bieber is looking to buy a massive mansion in Atlanta's Tony Buckhead neighborhood.
Yeah.
They don't want that kind of Buckhead there.
No, they don't.
Because he wants to be, there's a big house there. The rich people of Buckhead are less than enthused about his move. In fact, a group of them called the Buckhead Neighborhood Coalition is staging a protest.
Oh, no.
Right. Right, presumably because he is a head and
a buckhead. Great.
They don't want that in Buckhead. I could see you getting nervous with me doing that story. You thought I'd slip, didn't you?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Buck.
I had my finger on the button.
Yep. Okay.
But didn't he pee on the in the neighbor's yard?
No, he threw eggs at the neighbor's house
and
he
peed
in
a bucket.
Mop bucket.
In a
container.
But a mop bucket that they were using to mop the floor.
In a restaurant kitchen.
That's gross. Yeah, that's gross.
Yeah. Okay. So you know the snake, pastor?
Yes.
That was killed by a...
snake bite?
Right. Snake Salvation, that's got that guy.
Snake Salvation, yes.
Right. Snake Salvation's son of dead pastor will refuse treatment if a snake bites him.
Good plan.
You know, stupid runs in the family.
Yeah.
The new pastor in the Snake Salvation Church will not accept medical treatment if he is bitten by the rattlesnake that killed his father exactly 1 week ago.
He's saying that now.
Right? Get me the antidote! My father's an idiot! Cody Coots. Cody Coots. Tells TMZ he will indeed handle the deadly snake during the afternoon Kentucky service. And if he is bitten and paramedics rush to the church, he will send them away just like his dad, Jamie Coots.
Oh.
He said, I will lay right there and say to everyone, it's God's will. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't
think
so.
Is it the same snake?
I think he will get his hands around and say, give me the antidote. My father was a moron.
Give me the antidote. Is it the same snake?
Yes.
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 Oh, my God.
Yes.
This is so stupid.
Right?
This is like when Roy was bit by the tiger, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Siegfried and Roy.
Yeah,
right, and then they did a photo shoot with the tigers right behind them.
Yeah.
I was like,
No.
Right? Did you just say, because if you did not, this was not a good idea. Julie Brown, you remain delightful. Is there a juliebrown.com? I'm guessing there is.
There is a juliebrown.com, and that's where you can get tickets to my show, The Homecoming Queen's Got a Musical, and my other stuff.
awesome.
Products.
CDs,
awesome.
DVDs, everything.
The whole deal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I love you.
Thank you. Oh, my God. I had so much fun.
All right. See you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.